is interesting. It reminds me, you know, of the story that Effendi told of Abdul Qadir Gaylani, rahmatullah alayhi, who went into retreat, did one of the 40-day retreats, and at the end of the retreat, his wife would always make him this special soup that he loved. And so toward the end of the retreat, he was thinking of this special soup, and a little frog jumped out of his mouth. And he said, alhamdulillah, that was like the last little piece of his nafs. And he was going to leave it out. But Allah said, no, you know, I like you. I love you with your nafs. I mean, when they're to that level. So he took it back in. That Gaylani story is very good teaching for us, that we're not meant to be, you know, personality-less or without the flavor that gives us, you know, the flavor, and also maybe the nafs we need to be in the world, in this realm. Sheikh Musafir would pray for Noor. He would pray, oh, may the taste remain in your mouth, you know, So, because he knew that if the taste would go, Noor would go. You know, leave the world. Which he did, of course. And you saw that coming. So, alhamdulillah. So we remain here, you know, in that sense, burnt. Consumed, really, is a better word for it. Consumed by Allah. And inhabited by Allah. And in that beautiful chapter of the Fusus on Abraham, alayhi salam, where Ibn Arabi says it so beautifully, how the beloved permeates the qualities of the lover, and vice versa, the lover permeates the qualities of the beloved. So you can see it both ways, you know, that you can see it either as Allah permeating us, or that we are, you know, kind of permeating Allah's own divine esmas and names and traits. But inshallah, there's something else that comes to mind also from Effendi that says that the, you know, the saints, the bodies of the saints are preserved so they don't disintegrate, of the friends of God. But for other people who have not necessarily reached that level of immersion in God, their bodies, you know, go back to the earth, he said, but the new body, the body of the resurrection, will grow from the tailbone. And so, in a sense, the tailbone, which is like that, is the almost like the storehouse of our lives and our deeds and our thoughts. It's like everything is, you know, imprinted there. And just as we think we have it in the microchip, well, it's the microchip of our life. And so then we will, you know, return from there, but in a body of light.
Sheikh, when you're talking about us, Ilyas was talking about how there's one cell in our body that can't be destroyed.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And it's at the bottom of the tailbone.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah, so...
So that's obviously...
It won't be destroyed. Nothing can destroy it.
Interesting.
So it seems like that's what you were talking about.
Wow, that's very interesting.
One cell.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, that's put in kind of modern scientific terms, you know. Yeah. How interesting. So that's like an eternal cell. Don't let the scientists know about that if they get a hold of that. They'll be growing us all from our tailbone again. Okay, it's interesting. This is where I open to. And for those of you who are not familiar, these are the oral tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So there's the Quranic tradition, and then there are the oral traditions, which have been written down by now, but they're still called oral tradition. Muhammad the Messenger, may Allah immerse him in peace, once revealed. On the day of resurrection, the descendants of Adam will be brought like lambs before Allah, who will say to them, I bestowed upon you all good things, including spiritual gifts and graces. What have you done with them? Some will answer, we gathered them all together, we made them fruitful, and they became more abundant. Allow us to return to earth, and we will show them to you. And Allah will reply, you must demonstrate true abundance to me here and now, or else you will be directed to the fire of purification. MashaAllah. I'll read that once more. On the day of resurrection, the descendants of Adam will be brought like lambs before Allah, who will say to them, I bestowed upon you all good things, including spiritual gifts and graces. What have you done with them? Some will answer, we gathered them all together. We made them fruitful, and they became more abundant. Allow us to return to earth, and we will show them to you. Allah will reply, you must demonstrate true abundance to me here and now, or else you will be directed to the fire of purification. This hadith comes from the transmission of the noble companion Anas. May Allah be pleased with him. So, alhamdulillah. That's a good, that's one of the 101s. They're kind of the cautionary ones, and that's a cautionary one. And, you know, it is said that Allah gazes only upon the human heart. That is what, as though, and Allah says that, as though he's not seeing anything else. Nothing else is seen but that. That is the primary focus of the divine gaze. And so anything that we want to bring to God, we must bring it in our heart. As we, you know, just realized our bodies will perish, and maybe apart from that one single cell of more, you know, earthly or created nature, but in the uncreated, you know, what can we show? What can we bring to Allah? So whatever we have not, whatever has not entered our heart as light, or whatever has not been revealed in our heart as light and love and beautiful attributes and compassion, will not be recognized. So we cannot go back to earth and say, well, I built a lot of buildings, or I did this or did that, if it's not in the record of the heart. So just as we say that there's a record also in that tailbone of the physical being, but the real book is in the heart. Our heart is the book of our life. So it's very important to be aware of this every day and with everything we do, to know, is this going to bring, is what I'm doing now going to bring something more beautiful into my heart? And then, of course, there are a lot of things during the day, like you could say brushing teeth or washing dishes. Well, you say, well, that, you know, how's that gonna? But then if you're in zikr while you're doing those things, then that is what's going to leave the beautiful imprint in the heart. So that is the zikrullah and gratitude and remembrance of God, remembrance of the source and gratitude to the source are the two primary actions, we might say, that we could offer on earth. And compassion, of course, goes with that together, almost like as the third, reaching out to others, something that does not benefit us. So today I was imagining, I don't know, maybe from something, from reading Quran, actually, and an image in Quran, exactly as it says here, that we will become like lambs to God. And that image of coming, that there will be a day of revelation where everything is shown to be what it truly is, and that we will come and we will see. You know, if we have not seen clearly enough here, inshallah, we will see there. although it says if you have not seen here, you will not see there. But there is a, what we will see are the consequences, maybe, of what we, how we lived on earth. So just to imagine, let's just imagine for a moment ourselves. This is very helpful because many of these hadiths refer to that time, that moment where we will be totally revealed before Allah, before our source, before the one who sees all and knows all and loves us, though, most dearly. That's, we shouldn't leave that out of our imagining. And so just to be before one, before whom one is completely revealed, and all one's actions on earth are revealed and sort of sifted or weighed like in a scale. What is their worth? What is the worth of our days? And just even to contemplate that for a moment is such a guidance. Now imagine just all of a sudden you're, you know, going about your day and just all of a sudden that's the end of the earth. Creation is over, resurrection day is here. Or the earth realm is finished, resurrection day is here. You know, there it is. How are we? In what state are we? Are we prepared? The mature ones are the ones who are always ready. So whenever that moment would come, they would be completely ready. Here I am, labaik, I am here before you, because they're always before Allah. So inshallah, more and more we can orient our lives in that way to be really living solely for Allah, because that's the truth. That's who we should be living for, is Allah. And everything else should take its place around that. It doesn't mean that at all, that one ignores people or one ignores living in the creation or participating, not at all. It just means that we participate and are in relation in a way that is pleasing to Allah. You know, and we can learn what is pleasing and what is not pleasing. And so just to live our lives that way is so beautiful. So inshallah, may we become inspired more and more to do that and to have that consciousness of the ever-present one who's always watching us and watching over us and watching from within us and without us, and the all-seeing, the all-aware. The story of the dervish Mehmet comes to mind. Another Effendi story where the sheikh asked the dervishes to go out. He says, I'm going to make a feast now, and I want to invite a lot of people, and we're going to invite the poor from the neighborhood. And so he says, everybody go out. And he said, and, you know, at least bring me a chicken, kill a chicken. And he says, but do it where no one is watching you, you know, because it's sort of a gruesome thing. So all the dervishes are very enthusiastic with this new mission, and they all go out, and the next day they come back, and each one has their offering, their sacrifice for the feast. And here comes Mehmet, and he is empty-handed. And so all the other dervishes are kind of snickering and saying, look at him. You see, he didn't do anything. He didn't follow his sheikh's orders. And so the sheikh looks at Mehmet and says, Mehmet, why didn't you bring me something? And Mehmet says, well, you told me that I shouldn't be seen, and I couldn't kill the chicken. I had a chicken, but wherever I go, Allah was watching me. And so the sheikh says, aha. And he said, you are the one. And so they had the feast, and that was to enthrone Mehmet as the future sheikh, because he saw that. So inshallah, may we develop that level, which is knowing at least that Allah is seeing us, as it says, that's the ihsan. If we do not see Allah, to at least be certain, to have that certainty that Allah is seeing us. And that's not a difficult level, interestingly enough. You know, it's so amazing. Things that would seem, you know, unreachable, but they're not on the dervish path, or they're not in the for someone who's undertaken a genuine mystic path. So, alhamdulillah. May we always have that consciousness. Alhamdulillah. Are there any other questions?
Okay. So there's, I think, a prayer of Hazrat Fatima, which goes along the lines like, oh Allah, save me from being alone with myself.
Oh, yeah.
Can speak to that a little bit.
That's a beautiful prayer. And it's one of the salawats too. You know, save me from, I think, myself. And I think that's the meaning of being alone with myself is... Because the self, I mean, at least what comes to me is that, you know, don't leave us to ourself, to our limited self, because otherwise we will, you know, we will go astray, for sure, and always be between me and my limited self. I think for her level, so always be between me and, you know, my limited desires, and be together with me, and then they will conform, you know, to your pleasure. But if you're not there, if you're not present, then they will take over, obviously. And that's the whole dervish path, is to focus so much on Allah that we are no longer the victim, you know, are subject to the power of the limited self, which is, it has a strong power. Otherwise it wouldn't be able to live in this realm, you know. So it, in a way, it's a survival self. It has good to it, much obviously. It's like the envelope for this realm, but it needs its master. And until it's mastered, until it finds its master, which is Allah. And that is why, you know, I think she prays that way. Do not leave me alone with myself. Do not leave me alone. Alhamdulillah. Yeah.